Well, here we are, the Don Cherry podcast again. And Tim, I'm giving you the $200 and you're taking the $200 to Cindy for her pet rescue with a thing. Cindy, you owe him $100 too, don't
you? I owe him $100 too. And don't think that I'm taking the money. It's going to the Don Cherry Pet Rescue Foundation.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody knows that we bet that I said Biden was going to win. And in the Joe Warmington's part, you were saying that I was rooting for Biden.
That was a great write-up, by the way, yes. Too.
Yep. Joe always comes through for
Joe
us.
Joe comes through all the time for us.
But, you know, I wasn't rooting for Biden or Biden, but what I said to you, Dad, was I said the problem with Trump was you can't go to war with the media for 4 years and expect to win.
No, I used to get the last word all the time when I was in the chips, and somebody say something about me, I'd go on. We had 2 million people, 2 or 3 million people listening all the time, so I used to win all the time. But no, you're right. And what was it? 92% of the media was against Trump, and he used to, every time he'd have those 32,000. How did he lose? Like, oh, anyhow, and he'd say the fake news and all that stuff and everything. You go to war with the media, and the one guy said, Levy, I think it was one of the, or no, I don't think it was one of them, said if you go to war with the media, you're going to lose, and that's why one of the reasons he lost. And I feel sorry for the guy with the plywood. The guys that did the stores all poor guys, they thought Trump might win. Because now let me get, 72% of the people in Canada are happy Biden won. The Democrats, right? So after Biden won, by the way, Tim, I'll give you, I'll give you, he won fair, but I don't think he won square.
No, that's for sure.
But you're winning, but I don't think he won square, Pennsylvania and all that. So anyhow, they boarded up and they spent thousands upon thousands of thousands of dollars figuring that Trump might win. If Biden wins, nothing happens. They have a little dance and they make fun of him and they say things for him and stuff like that. And nothing happens. Now, if Trump wins, you'd have looting and burning and everything. So the 72% of the people in Canada favor Biden, who nothing happened. But if Trump had a win, there would have been burning and looting and stuff like that. I think some of the people might have been ticked off. So anyhow, all I'm saying is that's why I love Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr went out on a limb, and for some reason, because he is like he is, and a great guy, and I think he's a great guy, but he didn't have to do that, but that's the way he played. Bobby Orr played full out all the time. If he believed in something, he did it, and he took an ad out in New Hampshire, didn't have to, paid for it himself, by the way. He knew that he'd get in Massachusetts 100% for Biden. I think it was 73% to 23% or something like that. He knew he was going to get it, and he did it anyhow. And you know, he played the same way, all out all the time. And I remember, and he was always thinking of the team. And I remember he used to get in the first year he played for me. He had the greatest year ever that he ever had. He won the scoring title and the Norris and the whole deal. I think he had 46 goals, 89 assists, plus 123. I just left him alone. I just let him play because I knew he was for the club. And this is the way he is in life now. He knew he was going to get it from the left wing Massachusetts. He knew he was going to get it from everybody, but he went out and that's the way he played.
Now, would you say, I think that you were the only public figure that stuck up for Bobby Orr?
Well, I don't know about that.
I didn't read anyone or heard anyone else saying, you know what, that's good for him, that he believes in what he believes in, and he has the right to do what he wants.
That's the way he played. And
I like the one thing you said when you were coaching Bobby. You said the one rule for the team was when Bobby has the puck, don't go offside.
I said that in a meeting one time. You know, I never had many meetings, but I said, when he's got the puck, don't go offside. He thought it was funny. I meant it. I mean, when he used to get the puck, he used to make that little deke near the end. And he had the puck, he got 46 goals, and the guy go offside got about 10. So I used to say, don't go offside when he's got the puck. Well, it must have worked. He got 46 goals, 89 assists, plus 123, won the scoring title. And that's the way he played, and that's the way he lives today. And he didn't have to. He didn't have to take that advertisement out, but he believed in Trump, and I believe in Trump, too. I'm the only person in Canada believes in Trump.
Well, it was funny. We were saying that yesterday, we were talking about Trump, and we made the bet and everything, that on the Twitter and on our Facebook page and everything, we've lost a few viewers said that they were going to go, and I felt like saying, did you really, was a surprise that Don Cherry was going to be
a stretch or what?
Going to be for Donald Trump.
Well, so. I'll tell you one thing. I lost a lot of money when I got off Sportsnet. And I'm not going to change now. I mean, there's a lot of days behind me than there is in front of me. And I'm not going to change now. That's
well,
for sure.
It kind of reminded me of the time. Remember when you were coming down the elevator after one of your shows that you did down on Fan? That there was a kid with
he just started.
Yeah,
and he was trying to interview me, and I said, "Wait a
minute." Like he was hiding it though, so he.
But I could see it going.
So yeah, so he was hiding it though, and he was talking to you about Dr. Tater, because remember Dr. Tater said something bad about you, and so you were, and he was trying to get you to say something bad about him, and then you kind of went into your hockey player mode.
Because I could see it going.
So you told him to F off and all that, and then he went and he put it on his blog.
I didn't know he put it on his
blog. Yeah, he put it out there on a blog, and he really got in a lot of trouble.
Well, he was using, if I remember correctly, he was using the station's
equipment,
machinery or something.
To put his blog on. So they were going to fire him, but you...
They said they were going to fire him, and I said, look, don't fire the guy. You know, he's just starting out. Don't fire the kid. They didn't. They kept him around.
Yeah, but I bring it up because I remember, you know, it was a big deal.
Like back then it was a big deal.
It was on all the radio stations, and there was.
I'm a bad guy again, as usual.
And especially, you know, Don Cherry swearing. It was bad. And then Bill Carroll, who was an afternoon drive host, he said,
still on, doing a great job.
He goes, you know, he says, I really don't think it's a big stretch for me to believe that Don Cherry swears. He says, I don't know what people... So,
I use the hockey... If that word, that F word, was ever taken out, that hockey would fold.
And then Bill Carroll goes, to tell you the truth, if he spoke like an English professor, he says, I really would have been devastated. Just before we get going, we're going to just... Talked to our sponsors. Thank you very much for Spreads.ca, a First Nations-owned online casino and sportsbook, tailored to Canadian businesses, which means you can use Canadian...
That's a native business, eh?
Yeah, at First Nations in Quebec. So sign up now and enter the promo code GRAPES, and they'll match your deposit 100% up to $500. So if you put in $50, they'll match $50. You get 15 free spins on their...
I hate to interrupt him. But I've got asked by a lot of people, how, if I want to put $50 on Green Bay, playing, how do I do it? Dude, just tell us one more time.
So you go on to Spreads, SPREADS.
Now, how do you get on Spreads with this?
Well, you got to go on the computer.
Okay,
you got to go on Google. You got to go on Google, or you got to go on a search engine. Go to Spreads, SPREADS.ca. And then you have to log in, or you got
easy, eh? It's easy.
Yeah, and then you sign in, and then you put your email address and a password. And then you have to put some money in to the pot, so you do it through you could do it through PayPal or Visa or credit card.
Well, you can use your credit card, eh?
Right. And then once that's in there, you go onto the sportsbook page, and then they have just a everything from...
It's easy, though. Don't,
oh, very easy. You can. It's got everything from, I mean, from hockey right now, it's playing over in Europe, to Irish hurling, to...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's got just about everything. And then they also have a casino if you want to play blackjack or anything like that. So, yeah, so there, it's First Nations in
Quebec.
We're
going to talk about Jim Nielsen.
Yes.
Later on. And Gary, I must tell that story, but... It's
Jim Nielsen. Yeah, he was First Nations defense.
He was a Cree, I think.
Cree, yeah. And you would say he would be making about $10 million.
Oh man, he was here's Jim Nielsen played 20 years in the National Hockey League. He was a stay-at-home defenseman. Get this, he was a stay-at-home defenseman, and he could score. I mean, nobody has that anymore. And he played 20 years in the National Hockey League. He was an all-star. And 1 year, he got 10 goals. I mean, he got 44 points 1 year. Guys getting 44 points that are forwards now are getting like about $10 million.
Yeah, so how much would a defenseman getting 44 points get?
This guy would be getting $8 million a year. I know I go on and on about him, but I remember he played when I was in the minors. And he was a big guy. He was a great big guy. They call him Chief. I never met him, actually, to tell you the truth. But I'll tell you, boy, he was quite a hockey player. And I have to tell you this story. Now, you have to take this. You have to take it as this happened about 20, 30 years ago. Red Fisher, who wrote for the Montreal Gazette, was a great sports writer. He could, and I used to every time Boston went in to Montreal, I'd always read his columns. It was always great. He did it a great job. And him and Glenn Sather, and I hope I'm getting this right, Glenn Sather used to go fishing all the time and hunting. I don't think he went hunting, but I think they went fishing. Anyhow, and Red Fisher was a great admirer of Indian painting, or Native painting.
We'll call them First Nations paintings.
Oh, First Nation painting. Anyhow, is that what they call him? First Nation? Anyhow, First Nations. He was a great Indian painting. It was just beautiful. You have to think about this. It was about 30 years ago. And so Glenn Sather was always playing jokes on everybody all the time. I guess he could when he was winning all the time. And so now remember what I said, that and they used to, Indians used to do great paintings and things like that. And he was always, he says, and they went fishing or something. And Glenn Sather said to Red Fisher, he said, I'm going to get you a great picture or of an Indian painting. And he went to Jim Nielsen. He said, would you do me a job? Just let on your painting, your barn, and send me a picture. And he sent it to Red Fisher. Here's a picture I promised you, an Indian painting. I thought that was pretty good. And he had Jim Nielsen. He was... they call him Chief, eh? And he was a Cree, and he got drafted in the Rangers system. He played 12 years for the Rangers, and he was an all-star. He got 44 points, like I said, 10 goals. 10 goals! I mean, back in those days, nobody did that. He was always a contender. He played with Gretzky near the end of his career. He would, you know, near the end of his career, he played, and he would always do charity. He was always a great guy for charity, and he used to play games charity, and he used to give the money to the charity, and that's the kind of guy he was, and he died this year. And he was a great guy, and it fits right in with our sponsor.
Yeah, it was sad. And again, you know, you just, how many guys you look back and they just say, if I was born in another era, I'd be making
someday I'll start doing this, the guys. But I have to tell you a story about Gary Peters, who phoned me. Now, Gary Peters was a great, he wasn't a great, but he was a good hockey player. There's one guy who'd be making about $4 million. So anyhow, he phoned me and he told me about Jim Nielsen. So I have to tell you a story about Gary Peters. He played for the Boston Braves, which was in the American Hockey League. And I was trying to make a comeback because I had no money. And so I was trying to make a comeback. I think I was 36 years old. 36. Imagine that. How sad. Imagine 36-year-olds.
And you were playing in the Rochester Americans.
Rochester Americans. And first four games, I did pretty good. I was plus four, and I had 4 points anyhow. And that doesn't matter. So I'm not playing near the end. I'll never forget this. It's one of those things you never forgot if you're in life. And I remember I sat there for the whole period. I sat for the first period, I sat for the second period, and I sat for the third period. And the Boston, nobody's there, nobody's watching, nobody cares. It's nothing game. They're first place, I think, and they had a pretty good club. And we weren't making the playoffs. But anyhow, I'm sitting there, and Doug Adams was the coach. He was so sick of us not scoring on the power play. I don't know why he would do this, because he played the game. He said, Cherry, go out and play left wing on the power play. I'd sat there for the whole game, and the last 2 minutes he sends me out. He was sick of the guys that are on the power play. So as I went out, I said, dear God, don't let me make a fool of myself. Just don't. And it was a face off in their end. I'll never forget it. Face in the right hand corner, looking in, and the puck, I don't have the puck come to me. It was like a hot biscuit. Sure enough, the guy's the left wing. He pulls the puck back. But I get the puck. I said, oh, what am I going to do? So I talked about you. I talked about that. Maybe the guys let me. I don't know. Anyhow, maybe the old guy they felt sorry for. I don't think so. But anyhow, I faked the guy coming out, the winger coming out, and I walked around. I faked the defenseman again, and he went one way, and maybe he didn't. And I come in on that goalie. This is unbelievable. And I faked it. He was going to put it in the right-hand shot, and he moved over, and I slid it home, and I scored. I scored, and I'll never forget it. I skated back, you know, and I'm my own worst enemy. Instead of enjoying the thing, I skated back to the bench, sat on the bench as if to say, yeah, I'm an old guy. I know you. I sat me there, and I sat down, and now, where does Gary Peters come into this? Well, Gary Peters was playing for the Boston Braves, and it was empty. The Boston Gardens was empty, and I never forgot. He said, and I was wearing, hey, watch out for that number two. He's pretty dangerous. And both players laughed, but I never forgot that.
That was maybe one of your last shifts.
I think it was the last. I was thinking could have been, yeah, because right after that, Doug Adams was walking. I think we were getting beat. I wasn't playing. That was the night. And I wasn't playing. And Rochester Americans, you had to go from the dressing room. You had to walk in front of the crowd. And some couple of guys jumped up and smacked them. And so he didn't want to coach you. Why coach you? I think, how many games is left? It was 30 games left. You know what? I'm going to continue this. This is every night, every time I was away, I would always phone Rose and say, I'm going to be late. Or after practice, I'm always phoned and I always said, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. And she knew I was, you know, alive anyhow. This time, Bobby Blackburn was a defenseman. He was over 26 too, and him and I went out drinking. Well, one led to another, and I said, "Well, I better phone." Well, you will have one more. And the first thing you know, I didn't phone home. The only time that I remember that not phoning home and telling Rose I was going to be late, right? So I get pretty smashed, and well, I shouldn't say, but anyhow, I got feeling pretty good. And I come home at 2 a.m. and Rose is waiting for me there. And she never got mad, but she's embarrassed because Doug Adams and what was the other guy? Mike Sullivan had been phoning. He was the assistant coach or PR or something. They were phoning home every hour to find out where it was. Now Rose doesn't know where I am. Oh boy. And you know, I'm stiffer in ability. Well, sure, I was pretty stiff. So I remember I came home and she's waiting there for me. And she's just ripping to me. And I knew they wanted me to coach because I knew he didn't want to be coaching me. If he was going to fire me, he would have fired me the next day. I knew they were good. So I remember that night we went to a diner or something, and I hadn't eaten since 12 o'clock. I had a pie, an apple pie, I think, or something. And we want you to be coach and everything. He didn't care. He saved money. I never got any more money. Much go on about that and everything like that. And I come home, and I said, well, I remember when Rose, boy, she was mad. That's the only time she ever gave me heck. Oh, no, another time. And she said, she called me names and everything. I said, don't worry, Rose, don't worry. But don't worry, we don't have any money. No, you don't worry about your kids and all that, going to college and all that. I said, don't worry about a thing. When I come back, I'll be coach. You won't be coach. But I know I'm rambling here, but that was the same night. And Doug Adams, and I was made coach. The following, you can imagine what I looked like. The next morning, I had to go, and they had to announce I was a coach. And I remember a reporter asked me, so what do you think, how do you think Cherry will do? And I remember Doug Adams saying, oh, I don't know. They're hired to be fired. I never forgot that.
And then, what, 3 years later, you were coaching Bobby Orr?
3 years later, I was coaching the greatest hockey player who ever lived, Bobby Orr. 3 years, and they say there is no God. But that was the one time I didn't phone home, and boy, was Rose mad at me. She didn't get mad at me too often. She didn't get mad and rip me too bad. Boy, she ripped me that day, and I deserved it.
Well, I think one of the things people are wanting you to talk about, Dad, is Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah, I have to. You know, that seems to be a big thing right now about Whole Foods. You know, I have to tell a story, and I seem to be telling a lot of stories, and I have fun telling them. I really do have fun telling these stories and everything like this. But anyhow, Whole Foods, I don't know. You said it's owned by a guy with Amazon, rich guy. What's his name?
Bezos. He's a really rich guy that owns Amazon.
I don't know anything about this. I guess the food's pretty expensive at Whole Foods.
It's where all the rich people go grocery shopping.
Ron McLean goes there, I guess. He does a lot of shopping. I never heard of the place, so I'm not. I don't have. And, you know, they put out a thing you're not supposed to put on, and I don't think it was for the poppy. Maybe it was for the poppy.
No, they said you weren't supposed to wear poppies.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, anyhow, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Who cares, Whole Foods and everything. But I have to tell you a story that I think is pretty funny. I swear to God, I turn on the radio, and I don't listen to the radio a lot, and I turn it on. As I turn it on, this talk show host has on people from Whole Foods. He has a kid on. Sound like a kid. And he worked there, and I had to laugh. He says, did you wear a poppy before? He says, no. He says, are you wearing a poppy now? No. So he said, did anybody in the Whole Foods wearing a poppy? No. So nobody wears a poppy. You're saying to me that nobody wears a poppy anymore. Sad. So he had a call-in show. It's a call-in show. So he calls in, and the first lady is on. He talks about, poppy and the Whole Foods. He's trying to get Whole Foods in trouble. And she said, you should get Don Cherry on. Click! Got her off awful fast. And the second guy, he says, okay, we'll go to so-and-so and so-and-so spot and everything. And the guy says, I got word to say. You should just get on two words. That's all I got to say. Don Cherry, he'd straighten it out. Click! And the announcer said, let's go to weather.
But, Dad, you realize that they've done that before. The radio stations.
You know, a long time ago, I have to tell you this story. This is a true story. There was a professor from Guelph, and he was against violence in hockey and fighting and stuff like that. So they were going to have him on. So they phoned me and they asked me if I'd come on with a.
You were the Neanderthal.
I was the animal, yeah. he hockey is the silver ballet without violence and all that stuff, right? So I said, sure, I'll come on. Keeps me sharp. I'll come on. And, it was really funny. There'd be one for him. They were against fire violence and all that. And then one for me.
So like the call-ins, they were going, one person was for
Yeah, like one for them. One for the call-in. Then we one for me. one for him, one for me. One, I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. I mean, you mean to tell me there's that many people against hockey? And he says, yes. If and this is the announcer saying, I think he was the announcer. He says, yes, if you say what you're, I don't know. I think your producer is cherry-picking guys in and cherry-picking guys out. And, no way. If that's the way it is, it's, we're dishonest. And I'm honest to God, this is what happened. A guy phoned in and says, you're right, Grapes. I phoned in and I said I was for the professed. I was for you. Click. And then I phoned right back and I said I was for the professor and I got on right away. And boy, did I have fun after that. I said, see, how could you trust these people that manage, you know, and I'm going on and everything? And that's what happens on those talk shows. They cherry pick. They pick who they want and the whole deal. And I don't know how I got onto that one, but that was unlike anything. But Cindy, you got something to say about wearing a poppy and
yes, we all wear a poppy if we believe in wearing a poppy, which is good. But we also, you can go to commemorate all the animals that died during the war. Okay,
a lot of horses,
and I know you guys are into stats and all that. So how about this stat? During the First World War, 16 million animals died, and half of them were horses. Okay, so
they pulled the guns and stuff.
The mules pulled the artillery, but also cats were. They used cats and they used dogs, of course, for bomb detectors.
You know, it's a funny thing. Can I jump in? Keep jumping in. Thomas William Mackenzie, the picture I put. It was about 10 sergeants. He had a little dog sitting on, a little white dog sitting on his lap.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. So what the OSPCA has done to commemorate the lives lost by animals is for the last 3 years, they've been selling pins. So if you go to the OntarioSPCA.ca/remember, you can buy a pin there. It's a ribbon for $12. And $2.50 of that goes to our friends at the Legion of here in Ontario. So, you know, that's something to think about, too, because we want to, you know, that's a lot of animals dying, giving their lives. And remember, they don't have a choice, not like the people that went to war.
I think a lot of the people went to war had choice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the choice
too.
Either. So.
No, they are, no, we went to war. We were volunteers.
Yep.
I mean, in the First World War, that's why we're the best troops of all. We were shock troops.
Yeah.
The shock troops are the people that they sent in first. It got to the point that we were so good in the Second World War that when the Germans heard that Canadians were gathered for a battle, they'd send their best troops. And everywhere the Canadians were, they knew they'd send their best troops and the most people. And it got to the point that naturally, you never hear about this anything, but all the troops started to put Canadians on their sleeves, so they think they had spies. The Germans had spies and everything.
Yeah, because I guess what they would do would be like they would try to fool the Germans of which way they were going to attack, and then the Germans learned, well, if it's only the Americans there or it's only the British there and the Canadians aren't there, that's not where the attack's going to be. And if they knew that the Canadians were there, they said, okay, that's where the attack's coming from.
Because we were shock troops. Because we're conscription. And not to trivialize it or whatever you say, but when you want to see a guy that really likes to fight and you're fighting a guy, oh, boy. So I know a guy that did.
I just want to tell one quick story, okay, that I'm working on a TV show, and we were in the Ontario Regiment Museum in Oshawa, which has the largest operational vehicle, military vehicles in North America. It's got tanks and from all over. And they had a Jeep there, and the Jeep was from this, long story short, was a Canadian tank commander's Jeep, and the Canadian tank commander got wounded, and he loved this Jeep, and he told the guy, don't lose this Jeep, and the guy was hurt worse than he thought, and he had to go back to Trenton, that's where he was from, and eventually the Americans brought the Jeep over for him to keep
Isn't that right, eh?
To keep the Jeep, yeah, so have the Jeep. So the Jeep was there, and I said, I looked at the, and this guy, Dan Acker, was the operations manager, and, and he was, you know, kind of going over, and he was telling the story of this. And I said, you know, I got to ask you, I said, why does it have an American star on a Canadian Jeep? Like, why wasn't there a Maple Leaf on the Canadian Jeep? And he said, well, he said, long story short, he says, you know, pilots are, he said, the pilots aren't very smart. And he says, they wanted to make sure that anything with a star was an ally. And he goes, that's why the Russians had red stars.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
had,
I never what, thought of that.
We had white stars. And he says, but look at the, he goes, this, so this is a Canadian Jeep, but look at the star. And I'm looking at it. He goes, what's wrong with it? And I kind of go, well, I don't know. I go, they didn't really paint it straight. He goes, that's right. He says, the Canadians, he says, despised putting an American white star on their Jeeps.
Oh, yeah.
He says, so what they did that. Was that they skewed it just a little bit to the left or right just to say, all right, I got to put this on, but I'm not happy about it.
Well, one guy that I think we should talk about and end the show that who went into the war at 18 years old was Howie Meeker. Howie Meeker, you know, was badly wounded, and he was in the war. He never got out of the war until he was 46. And imagine go through the war, and he joins the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was a rookie. He was an older rookie. But he got five goals in one game. Five goals in one game. And I'll bet you never, you will never be, you'll never guess who the guy he beat out for Rookie of the Year was. Gordie Howe. Was a pretty good guy to beat out if you're beating that. He won four Stanley Cups in 5 years. He must have thought he was going. He was, I think he did that one with Birkel too. He was on that team with Birkel, scored the overtime goal. I think on McNeil, it was top corner. It was, remember, we must talk about Birkel sometime. So then he retired. He had a bad back. He had to retire. And they give him a job coaching in Pittsburgh. Now, I saw him as first. I was only 19 years old, and we went in Duquesne Gardens, I think it was called. Anyhow, we went in the and he coached, and I never saw it before. I've never seen it since. There was no room at the back. It was packed all the time. He sat on the middle of the bench, and I remember he had a gray, and he coached. Imagine, I guess the Russians do that, eh? They stood in front, eh?
Yeah.
The Russians stand in front. But he sat on the bench. And so anyhow, he was there, and then he became GM. He became coach for a while for the Leafs, and then he became GM. But when he really come into his own was when he went to Newfoundland. I think he had a summer hockey school out there. And I think, did Ralph
I'm pretty Melman? Sure Ralph Melman got him on TV.
Yeah, so then he went on TV, and he was on TV for a while. And his favorite saying all the time was, golly gee, all the time. And he wrote a book in 1999, and golly gee, it's me. So anyhow, here's a guy that spent 4 years or 5 years in the Canadian Army, was wounded, come out, and was Rookie of the Year, scored five goals. Imagine scoring five goals. Man, well, Matthew scored five goals this year, mm-hmm. or two or three years ago. Anyhow, five goals. It beat out Gordie Howe. He didn't like me too much, but there's a guy that was a hockey player, and a soldier, and he became an icon, and I'm sure admire. You know, folks, we do this show, Don Cherry's podcast, every Sunday morning. And for some, and I just, when I thought of the hockey players, and I thought of the Poppy, and I thought of hockey players in the military, the first guy I thought of was Howie Meeker. And I did that, we do it every Sunday morning, and we found out that Howie had died in the afternoon. He was 97 years old. I meant every word I said in the podcast, and we'll talk more about Howie next week, and God love him.